Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum. I'm Tavia Gilbert, and I'm glad to welcome you back to another cutting-edge conversation with business leaders and creative luminaries tailored to global security professionals. Today is the third in a special four-episode series in which Steve and I discuss the ISF's latest report, Threat Horizon 2023, Security at a Tipping Point. Today, we're back to focus on the report's third threat, Identity is Weaponized. Steve, I understand from the report that digital identity will remain the primary mechanism for verifying online interactions. So the ISF forecasts that attackers are going to weaponize those identities, infiltrate organizations to steal data, manipulate individuals, and distort business models. That sounds just delightful. How do you see all of that happening?
Well, there are three areas to watch here, Tavia. So the first is all about digital doppelgangers that are going to undermine identity. A vast array of intimate data about individuals is going to be stolen, repurposed, repackaged into fully formed malicious digital identities, which come complete with the backstory, the narrative of an individual, real or imagined. Digital doppelgangers that look, sound, and behave like real people will make the existing challenges surrounding identity theft immeasurably more complex to address, as you can imagine. Well-resourced and sophisticated attackers will begin to create an arsenal of weaponized digital identities at speed, and with frightening accuracy. They'll use these digital doppelgangers to spread disinformation, compromise identity, and coerce high-profile individuals. Technologies such as AI, biometrics, behavior analytics are all starting to mature, resulting in early examples of deepfakes, and we've talked about that specifically last year as well in our Threat Horizon report. But it's the evolution of these technologies that will culminate in digital doppelgangers, and that poses a far greater threat. These credible facsimiles, if you like, will undermine trust, shatter the reputations of individuals and brands alike, and become widely used mechanisms of fraud to finance an expanding number of criminal activities.
It sounds like to fight against this, organizations will need to develop their employees' ability to really critically evaluate the validity of both the message and the messenger. Can they also implement processes and tools simultaneously, so that they are offering their employees assistance in reporting potential malicious activity?
Well, I think there's certainly going to be human-centered and technical solutions to this. And, you know, we go into this in quite some detail in some of our other reports, that human centricity that's so important. I think in this particular instance, businesses really should be deploying tactical technical solutions to identify these doppelgangers. So, for example, using principles embodied in the Turing test. Along with that technical solution, they need to train their people and raise awareness in high-risk areas about disinformation and impersonation. It's also time to reassess formal business processes for verifying identity and responding to discovered doppelgangers. In the longer term, companies should implement processes for multi-factor authentication. They need to monitor identities that exhibit spoofing characteristics, for example, by using user and event behavior analytics solutions. And they should run a discovery exercise to determine where digital identity is used for authentication purposes and the corresponding access that's provided to users in different roles.
Moving on to the next area of concern around identity weaponization, let's talk about how biological data is driving a rash of breaches. What can you tell us about that concern?
This particular threat is really around organizations gathering increased volumes of data derived from biological factors. And this data will not only underpin many novel identity verification mechanisms, but would also have value in its own right. And this inevitably is going to become the target of relentless cyber attacks by nation states, commercial competitors, and I think organized criminal groups, putting customer trust in real jeopardy. Biological data will provide organizations with unique insights into their customers. So, you know, by analyzing the treasure trove of data generated by, I don't know, smart health devices, for instance, and other wearables, organizations will be able to better tailor services to their customers' personal preferences and develop innovative business practices. This is going to include monitoring lifestyles to generate recommendations that help people avoid chronic health conditions. So some good stuff in that. But organized criminal groups are going to recognize the rich prospects of monetizing that trove of really versatile biological information as well. And I think they will seek to exploit it in a variety of ways, you know, including identity theft. extortion, of course. Other adversaries will endeavour to profit from this valuable information too through corporate espionage, which I think will derail the development of potentially anyway targeted treatments and pharmaceutical compounds.
This is really especially scary, I think, considering that everyone's phones require fingerprints or face identification to open them. And it sounds like you're saying that those things are actually going to be replicable. So as biological information becomes increasingly valuable as a commodity, organizations then really need to ensure that they understand what data they're capturing and that they are protecting it. And organizations that store biological data really have to be ready to effectively and securely process it. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right, Tavia. Organizations must determine what biological data certainly has been collected. And the key here as well is classification. So it needs to be classified appropriately. They also need to ensure that biological data and associated IP are protected, of course, by the appropriate controls. And businesses need to review their login processes that involve biometric and other biological traits to verify their effectiveness. Some of the longer term solutions, I think, to this particular threat include the design and implementation of an employee awareness program focused on the use of biological data. Businesses also need to enhance security architecture for all systems involved with biological data. And inevitably, they need to be consulting with regulators on restrictions that are governing the collection, the use, and the storage of such information.
Let's turn our attention to the last area of concern, that gamed algorithms are going to cause commercial confusion. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we talk about the fact that organizations will begin to interact with their customers primarily through digital communications channels and digital assistants, which are powered by commercial algorithms. We anticipate that a range of threat actors will compromise or game these algorithms to their own advantage, undermining the value of the digital experience and destroying the commercial advantages of online trade. To reap the true benefit of online customer interactions, organizations need to gather accurate and detailed information. But their ability to do so, I think, is going to be stunted by the growing use of tools that undermine the effectiveness of commercial algorithms. Using custom-made software bots, scammers, savvy customers, and unscrupulous competitors, you know, who's going to flood organizational servers with orders for the purpose of manipulating the market rather than anything else. I think political activists also will capitalize on their networks and social reach to acquire seats at political rallies, denying access to potentially anywhere legitimate supporters. And then organized criminal groups, you know, they're going to create demand for fake products in order to launder money as part of crime as a service offerings. All of these different activities will serve to weaken customer confidence in the integrity of online commerce and the algorithms that inevitably are needed to support it.
I found it really fascinating that the ISF report recommended that organizations look to the video gaming industry, drawing on their wealth of experience in proactively developing anti-cheat technology and processes. That's so interesting to me. Understanding these methods and how specific algorithms work, then, will allow organizations to better protect their environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, insights can come from anywhere, can't they? Right now, you know, organizations should be looking to assess the integrity of the information generated by algorithms. And again, algorithms are something that we continually talk about at the ISF when we talk about threats, where they're being used. We need to conduct threat intelligence relating to gamed algorithms and also check algorithm-driven processes for signs of exploitation and abuse to be really effective at managing this particular challenge. And that's all in the short term. I think, you know, slightly longer term, then organizations do need to engage with more mature businesses in other industry sectors, you know, such as gaming, as you mentioned, to share good practice in combating this threat. I think one of the things that has really struck me in reading the report this year is that need for cooperation and collaboration, you know, particularly in this area, but in some of those other threats as well, you know, like AI, as we mentioned. Organizations will want to develop statistical models that assess data validity and representativeness. And they need to undertake vulnerability testing on algorithms and other business processes to reveal weaknesses and loopholes. And of course, the challenge here is not every organization has the skills in-house to be able to do this. And that really is why we're talking, I think, so much about learning from other people, about sharing. And so collaboration is a need, I think, that every organization needs to work on improving if we're going to be able to effectively combat some of the threats that we're talking about in Threat Horizon 2023.
So with an increasing reliance on digital identity, Organizations really need to gain a better understanding of the tactics, the techniques, and the procedures that target identities and algorithms. And it's going to be imperative for them to have the necessary technical and organizational measures in place to detect and respond to the weaponization of identity and to protect the use of personal data, including, as you described, biometrics, credentials, and behavioral insights.
It's not just technology, it's the access to the technology, the access route. And I think that that's one of the big shifts. We talk so much about protecting data, and we talk about how we can beef up the processes you need to go through in order to access that data. But if those access routes and the things that you have put in place to improve security themselves then come under threat or are no longer reliable, you're back to square one. And that's the real challenge with, I think, that whole sort of biometric. It was founded on the principle that it would be much more difficult to crack, to hack. And with the advances that we're seeing in technology, of course, that may not be the case.
Thanks, as always, for the interesting and informative conversation, Steve. We'll be back in next week's episode for a discussion about security failing in a brave new world, the final threat from the ISF's Threat Horizon 2023 report, Security at a Tipping Point. Here's a preview.
Security doesn't like change. And I think that one of the truisms that we'll be living through for the next number of years is that change is a constant. And people have talked about that before, but I think that from a security standpoint, the change hasn't been as impactful as it now will be, because there isn't anything that is a constant.
ISF members, don't forget to log in to ISF Live to access the complete report. And listeners, we invite you to tune into our catalog of video and podcast episodes, all of which you can find at securityforum.org. If you feel today's conversation was of value, you can follow the audio feed wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd be grateful if you would recommend us. Your endorsement helps us reach new audiences and helps us to continue to bring you these timely discussions. You can always join in the conversation on our LinkedIn page by searching CEO Steve Durbin or Information Security Forum. Or you can get in touch directly through our website, where you can also download ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like these. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert. Associate producer Katie Flood. Music by Alexander Filipiak. Mix and master by Brian Barney. Thanks for listening.